Stand with me in honor of reading God's Word, and I'm going to read it out of the New American Standard Version, because it'll make us quicker down the road in specifics and what it is actually saying. And then we'll come and examine these verses this morning. Daniel says, "Now while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before Yahweh my God on behalf of the holy mountain of my God, while I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. He gave me instruction and talked with me and said, 'O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight with understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed, to give heed to the message and to gain understanding of the vision.'" In verse 24, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make the end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end there will be war. Desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction. One that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate." Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we come this morning and come before God. We've worshiped Him today in this place. We've recognized Him. We've honored Him. We've heard a message about Christ being the Redeemer who lives and ever will live, everlastingly will live, and is living. And He is the one whom we know, the one whom has called us, the one who we serve. So we come today, we just ask Him for understanding in His Word today, that we may live our lives to His glory and praise and honor. And Father, in this place today, we give You thanks for who You are. We thank You for giving Your glory and revealing Yourself to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for that cross that revealed both Your wrath upon sin, but also revealed Your love toward Your creation. We thank You, Father, that You have called us with a calling that is holy. We thank You that You've called us by Your Holy Spirit to know You and to seek You and to find You and to worship You, and then to go out and declare Your gospel to all who will listen and all who will hear in this world. And Father, we just pray this morning that You open up our minds, open up our hearts, and give us understanding in Your Word. And we ask it today in that name above every name, the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, just quickly in this setting here, because we come now to verse 20, verses 20 through 27, where we read, Daniel has set aside himself for a time of prayer. Now, as we've started in Daniel chapter 1 and worked our way up through Daniel chapter 8 and the first part of Daniel chapter 9, we understand that, remember, Daniel was a young man. We would call a boy, probably a teenager, probably around 13 or 14, maybe 15 or 16 years of age, when God sent His people into captivity. You remember, the captivity was the chastisement of God, the punishment of God upon His people for their grievous sin. For generations, the people of God, who should have shown the world who God is, God the Creator, that He's holy and righteous and just, instead they worshiped pagan gods. They burnt their children in fire. They sacrificed their children in fire for generations. And God sent them prophet after prophet to call the people back to God, to call them to repentance. And the people would not repent. And so after many generations, God promised them that he would take them into captivity, and only a remnant then would come back. And so Daniel was a young man who was taken away in the very beginning of that captivity. And he was just a young man, just a teenager. And then when we come to Daniel chapter 9, Daniel has lived all through the Babylonian Empire under the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. And Belshazzar then came in, and Belshazzar, remember the handwriting on the wall, because he mocked God and did terrible things there with the things of God out of the temple. And so he was killed that very night, Belshazzar was. And that night Cyrus, or Darius, same king, same person, became the king. And so in the beginning of chapter 9, we've already looked at, it says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which is made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. So now Daniel is about 81 years old when this happens. And so Daniel has lived throughout most of the years of the captivity. And one day Daniel was reading the scroll of Jeremiah the prophet. And in the scroll of Jeremiah the prophet, God declared that 70 years were going to be determined on Israel for their sin, for their gross sin against God. And Daniel realized that he has lived through most of that time, and in just a few short years, God was going to deliver the people of Israel back out of captivity and go in and restore then Jerusalem and restore the temple. And so in studying God's word, then the heart of Daniel wells up inside of him, and he anticipates the hand of God to be at work. Now, brothers and sisters, because of what we have read in Daniel so far and what we're getting ready to read today and then the remaining chapters, we're living at a time similar to that of Daniel. He could see the end of the captivity coming. You and I can see the time when Christ will come back again and he will set up the everlasting kingdom of God, the kingdom that will never end, and that he will throw down the dominion of all other kings who have ever lived and dwelt and ruled over the face of this earth. And so now Daniel has bowed himself down before God in fervent prayer. And as we read in verse 20, Daniel is confessing his sins, and he's confessing the sins of his people. Look back at verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before Yahweh my God for the holy mountain of my God, in behalf of Jerusalem, in behalf of the temple. Why was that such a concern for Daniel and for the other Jews? Because that was the place where God was going to reveal to the world his saving grace. He was to reveal to the whole world the fact that he loved all of his creation, and that he is a God of justice, a God of mercy, and a God of grace. And so he was going to declare to all of the world through Jerusalem, through the temple there, Jerusalem. And now it was in ruins. It wasn't even there. The worship of Jehovah God was not even there, except the people that carried him with him into captivity in their hearts. So Daniel was praying. He was stirred by prayer. He was praying there. Then notice with me at verse 21. Notice the immediate answer of God. He said, yet while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, and that's just a term to refer to the angel Gabriel, because he appeared in the form of a man. That's why he was called the man Gabriel, whom I'd seen in the vision at the beginning, because being caused to fly swiftly, touched me or reached me about the time of the evening offering, the evening time that was there. So there was an immediate answer from God for Daniel for his prayer. Now, Daniel was a man who was highly favored of God. And we've talked about this before as we've come through the book of Daniel. Daniel was a man who was favored by God. There were three men in the Bible. There was Noah, Job, and Daniel, who were favored of God. And if you someday go look in Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 20, When through the prophet Ezekiel, God was condemning the sin of his people, the people of Israel. And he said, I'm going to bring a destruction on Israel, upon Jerusalem. And the only people, here's what God says to the prophet Ezekiel, the only people that would escape the judging hand of God would be Noah, Daniel, and Job. And he said, not even their sons, not even their family, because the sin of Israel was so horrendous. But Daniel was favored of God. Job was favored of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, the Bible tells us. And as we read and we see here, Daniel, this favored man of God. Why was he favored? He was favored because he was a man who had a man of purpose. He purposed his whole life to know the one true living God, the high and lofty God of creation. And so he purposed to know him. He purposed to know the scriptures. He purposed to worship him and to serve him. And so he was a man of purpose. Being a man of purpose, he was a man of principle, because he took the word of God and he applied it to his heart. He applied it to his life. He lived it out in his life. God favors people who have his purposes in mind, his purposes in their heart, and he favors those who follow his principles, the principles of his word, the principles of the Holy Bible, the word of God. And so these things being true, he was also a man of purity. He would separate himself from the things of this life and this world that would mix the things with God up with the things of the world and with life. And he would not do that because God is holy. And Daniel wanted to honor God. He upheld the reputation of God in his prayers and his actions before Belshazzar and before Nebuchadnezzar and now before Cyrus. And so he was a man of purity, but then we see here he's also a man of prayer. And these are the things that cause the God of heaven to favor anybody, to favor anybody. In the New Testament, we have one man who just specifically says that whom God loved, whom Christ loved. And that was John the Apostle. Because those who have a love for God and a purpose for God and the principles of God, they follow these things and they are made right with him. So Daniel's urgent plea was for God to forgive his sins and to forgive the sins of the people of Israel that brought them into this captivity almost 70 years earlier. So his plea was for God to forgive sins. And why did Daniel pray? Why was he so earnest and fervent in that prayer? It's because Daniel knew that God is a God of mercy and grace. Aren't you glad that God is a forgiving God? Some amens.
Amen.
Yes. A forgiving God. He forgives sins. And Daniel cried out to God for him to forgive his sins and to forgive the sins of his people. And so, and then he also prayed that the children of Israel would be able to go back into the land, go back to Jerusalem, to rebuild Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the nation of Israel once again. And so the answer came, and the answer came very quickly. God would forgive. That's what this is about. That's what the rest of this chapter is about. God would indeed forgive. God has forgiven. God will rebuild Jerusalem. God will restore the temple. God will restore the worship of himself to the world. God would do that, and God would be the one who would offer to the world, all of the world, the forgiveness of sins through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why the message, My Redeemer, is so powerful and so important. God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, has made the offer of the forgiveness of sins to everyone who walks on the face of this earth. In the remotest part of Africa, or Asia, or China, or Europe, wherever it might be, anywhere in the world, anyone who will hear the gospel of God, and who will respond to God, and who will humble themselves in repentance and in faith toward Jesus Christ, God will hear. And he will forgive, and he will save, and he will impart to those his spirit into their hearts and into their lives. And that's the whole of the message of the whole New Testament. And we see now God making this promise, making this revelation to Daniel through the angel Gabriel. And we see it's God's timeline that he is unfolding here. It's the plan for all the human race to know the one true living God. It is about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And it will infer the final time of human history because of what God is going to do. Now that's kind of where we see ourselves focused here as we come to look at these verses this morning. But let's just quickly look at what he has here for us. And first of all, in Daniel's prayer was interrupted by this angel, verses 20 and 21 that we've read here and looked at. And he just says, while I was speaking, while Daniel prayed, sometimes God answers why we're praying. If you look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. While Daniel was praying, God answered. But notice what Jesus says. Now here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, Jesus is, our Lord, is talking about hypocrites and actually praying hypocrites. That's what he said. Don't be like the hypocrites that pray in a certain manner, a certain way to be noticed of men. But notice what he says in verse 8. Do not be therefore like unto them. That's the hypocrites. Because your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. God knows what we need before we ask him. Sometimes when we pray, God already has the answer there for us. And sometimes God has the answer ready before we pray. Look with me in the book of Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 24. Isaiah 25 and verse 64. Through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord says, and it shall come to pass that before they call upon me, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And we see this demonstrated in the life of Daniel. Why? Because Daniel was the man of character, the man of these four things that we've talked about, he was favored of God. Are you favored of God? Does God favor you in your life? Does God work out the circumstances of your life? That's an indication that God favors us. When he walks ahead of us and he opens doors for us, he makes the way for us. Kind of get shaky and nervous, you know. Just the week before last, to Gallifrey, the pastor there, they contacted me about going to South Africa only just week before last. I'm real nervous about it. I mean, they've called me for two purposes. One I'm getting ready for. The church on Sunday, on the evenings, Monday through Friday, they want me to go and preach and declare the word of God concerning the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because they have issues there with that among different sects and different cult areas and people and different things like that. But for the College of the Bible, I'm only going for 1 week, thank goodness. Going for 1 week there, and they have yet to decide what they want me to teach the Bible college in the morning. And I'm leaving 2 weeks from Friday. Pray. I pray. Because God has called. I know God will work, and he's already at work, and he's already preparing me and things that are going there. And I don't know what they're going to say, but it's probably about Tuesday before I'll know. God is always at work. And before we call upon him, God knows what we need. And so he is the one who answers. And he is the one who provides for us in everything. And so here Daniel is crying out to God about the sins of his people. And the punishment was there. That was the captivity. And now the hope of going back to Israel, going back to Jerusalem, and going back to the temple so that the people of the world might know who the one true living God is. That they might know him and worship him and honor him like that. And so in the evening offering was what the time when this was happening, possibly over at Passover. And Daniel was observing that there himself. And so it was at the Passover in the year that Christ was crucified. He was there on the cross at the very time the Passover lamb was being offered in the temple there in Jerusalem in his day, in his time. And so Daniel saw, as a young boy, Daniel more than likely saw that smoke arise there from the temple, from the Passover offering, the Passover lamb that was being offered there once a year as it happened there before the people. And so Gabriel comes and announces to him then, that here's the answer. Look up with me, verses 22 and 23. And he informed me, and he talked with me, and he said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skill and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Give skill and understanding. God wanted Daniel to have skill and understanding of the scriptures, of the word and of the prophecies that were there, what would happen. He didn't ask for that, but God bestowed that to him. God gave that to him. And the content of his prayer was that he had studied the scroll of Jeremiah and he knew the time was coming when God was going to move again. And he called Daniel his greatly beloved, and he loved him very, very much so. And so he comes to him and he gives him what is going to now unfold for the rest of time and of human history. And I'm trying to decide if we ought to stop here to pick up. Let's just look at verse 24 as we come to do this, because we cannot do this justice in just a few minutes. But let me read verse 24 and let me make a few statements about it. And then we will come to close this morning. We'll come back and finish this chapter next Sunday morning. Notice he says, Gabriel says, the 70 weeks are determined. And the word determined means it's set out. It's set in place. It's locked in. 70 weeks are determined upon your people, upon your holy city. That is Jerusalem. To finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. These are the verses of Scripture that everyone who teaches or preaches or studies for themselves about the coming again of Christ, these are the verses that people come to look at. These are the verses that people want to come and examine to see what's there and what is going to take place and how redemptive history is all going to unfold. And so they're important. And I just would just close by saying this morning. Because of what God reveals through the angel Gabriel to Daniel, there is an astonishing truth about redemptive history. You've heard me make this statement a lot in the past few years. The Bible, Old and New Testament, is the history of God. History is His story. It's His story. It's God's story. And the story of God is redemptive. Everything from the Garden of Eden all the way till the coming back out of the captivity from the books of Ezra, Nehemiah, and even the book of Esther. All happens at this time, even with Daniel's time here. All about that same period of time. It is about the redemptive love, the redemptive grace, the redemptive mercy of God. And so when we see it unfold for us, and it's just too important to try to quickly pass over this morning. So we're going to come back to this next Sunday morning.